Yo, what's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. And I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. We're going to chop up some good game on today's show, as we always do. Folks are piling up in the room. So let everybody know that we're on live right now. Tell all your friends, tell your mom, your kids, your pets. Let them know we're going to make it do what it do. But what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a real quick commercial break. So you don't move a muscle, because we'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
What's up, family? Are you down for Black Empowerment? Because Black Empowerment is more than just a slogan. It's truly becoming a lifestyle. On Code Clothing is the brand that's unapologetically black and fly. Make no mistake, this gear is exclusive and not for everyone. You got to be grassroots aligned and coded up to truly appreciate this lifestyle brand. Check them out now at oncodeclothing.com. Sign up now and save 10% on everything in stock. And follow them on social media at oncodeclothing. Check out the brand new book called Going Global. That's the life-changing experiences of 10 courageous black men. That's a book that follows 10 American black men and captures their reasons, experiences, and knowledge from living abroad in Abu Dhabi and Dubai. Going Global is the passionate and personal experience of each author's journey that gives insight to the awakening that occurs when black Americans decide to take the leap and break free from American society's constraints. So check out the book right now, The Life-Changing Experiences of 10 Courageous Black Men, on Amazon and other bookstores. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook at going.global.book. From director and writer Yaw Agayapong and producer Devin Richardson, they bring you The Birth of Deceit. This is a film about a young black woman that goes on the search for answers about her parents' death. And in the midst of all this, she befriends a strange detective that reveals the horrid things that happened to her parents. So you can check the film out now and get tickets for the screenings at agayapongfilms.com. That's agayapongfilms.com. Are you looking for 100% natural beard product that cleans the skin under your beard and it stimulates growth? Then check out Beard Tree Oil and Herbs LLC. They promote healthy beards over everything. They offer a full line of products including beard and face wash, balm oil, mist, and detox. So treat yourself to the Beard Tree 3 package, which includes the wash, balm, oil for just $25. For best results, check out the Beard Tree 5 that includes all 5 products for just $50. So check this out all at BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com. That's BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com, or follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Beard Tree Oils and Herbs. Check out this brand new movie out right now called Memphis Magic. Now, Memphis Magic takes a look at the DNA of Memphis through the lens of a 30-year-old Memphis-born street dance called Jukin. This dance style derived from the Memphis hip-hop scene about 30 years ago, so you don't want to miss this movie. This movie is directed by Eddie Bailey, and you can watch it now at MemphisMagic.com. And Magic is spelled M-A-J-I-C. That's MemphisMagic.com. Yo, if you have less than perfect credit, you need to holler at my dude, Paul Levy. He can help you get your credit game in order, and he can help you see results as quickly as 45 to 90 days. He can help you out with items such as late payments, bankruptcy, medical bills, student loans, collections, and identity theft. Holler at my man, Paul Levy, at 203-820-3880. 73. Send him a text message. Let him know you heard him right here on Tariq Radio. That's again Paul Levy at 203-820-3873. Yo, cupcake season is right around the corner, family, and you need to get your fragrance game all up in order. So you need to check out ashkicking.com. That's a black-owned business that sells all-natural health and beauty products, and it also has fragrance products. You can get beauty products such as body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, unique incense burners, incense sticks, scented candles, and so much more. So again, you need to check out ashkicking, that's K-I-C-K-I-N, .com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail? Or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines. The new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines. Now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
Your mom's a hoe.
Yo, we're back. We're back. What's going on, family? Welcome back to Tariq Radio. Glad to have y'all tuning in. I am Tariq. I am your host. And I makes it do what it do. I hope everybody has contributed to the new film we're working on called Buck Breaking. You can check it out at buckbreakingmovie.com, or you can go to Kickstarter and type in Buck Breaking Movie. Or if you're watching me live on YouTube, you can go to the profile section and click that link to go and support at the Kickstarter page. Now we're over the halfway mark. We only have 8 days left, family, to reach the goal. The goal is 75K. That's doable. What we need, like 35,000 in 8 days? We can do that. We can do 35,000 in 8 days. We should be able to knock that out because this is a very important film that we're doing. Buck Breaking talks about the sexual exploitation that black men and black women have suffered at the hands of the dominant society, particularly by the white LGBT community. We really go deep on that. That's something that's not talked about. That's something that a lot of folks are afraid to talk about, especially people within the entertainment industry, because the entertainment industry, those are the gatekeepers. You got to go through the white LGBT community to get things popping in the entertainment industry. They're very powerful in the entertainment industry. So a lot of black people are very hush-hush about the things that go on with them. And it's about time that we stop being so afraid to discuss things that affect us as a community so we'll know how to protect ourselves from them. So again, go to buckbreakingmovie.com or just click the link below, and everybody contribute to the film and let's make this thing happen as a group. We can do it. We can do anything we put our minds to. That's how we are built. Now, before I get started with the chopping up of the game, y'all know a few days ago I was in the hospital. That concerned a few people, but I'm good. Some people knew, some people did not know. I was just in the hospital just for not even the whole night. I was in there almost all night. They tried to keep me overnight. I didn't want to stay overnight, but I'm fine. I am fine. This was a few days ago. I went in because I was having some blood pressure issues. You know, as y'all know, my blood pressure is high. People thought I was in there because of gout, but no, I got like some crazy blood pressure issues. Because one thing is I don't really sleep. I don't really rest like I should. I'm one of those people that's always up. If you notice, y'all see me posting and tweeting and going live on Instagram 2-3 in the morning. I'm always up. I am always up. I never really rest because I try to do
a whole bunch of different things. People wonder, how you get all these projects done? I don't be sleeping. I don't really be resting. I be up just doing stuff, man. And that's not always a good thing. A lot of people saying that's not always a good thing. Because when you're up like that, when you're just doing, you don't get to eat like you're supposed to. Because if you're up late, and especially being in LA, there's nothing that you can eat good at 2 o'clock in the morning in Los Angeles. Number one, ain't nothing open. Everything out here shuts down at 10 o'clock. So, you know, you're eating garbage late at night. I am. So I got to really do better. I really, really, really got to do better. You know, my mom was telling me, my mom was like, you can't save the world. And that's my thing. I try to be super nigga out here. You dig? So I do have to recharge those batteries. You dig? So I'm getting better on that. But I'm so driven and so excited about stuff that I'm working on. And also another thing, on a subconscious level, because I know how dangerous it is to empower people, to talk about empowerment. And I see what happens to us when we talk like our brother Nipsey. When we see stuff like that happens, we understand and I understand. And I realize that, you know, any day could be the day. So on a subconscious level, I think I try to get out so much stuff before anything happens to me. And I think that's one thing, unfortunately, that drives me a lot. I'm trying to, let me get all this stuff out before something happens. So let me not rest. And I got to get off that. I got to learn how to enjoy myself and just relax. Not just enjoy myself, but just learn how to relax and rest. Yeah, I'm not a damn robot. You dig? So I'm going to be getting that together big time. Because, again, my blood pressure was hella high. And they didn't want to let me out the hospital until they brought it down. And they were, you know, they had me on the IV. And they were giving me CAT scans. And, oh, they were doing everything. And that's why I went live on the gram. Because I wanted to show folks that I was okay. Because I didn't want to be up in there. Then something happened while I was there. And they say that I came in real sickly. No, I wasn't that damn sickly. I just felt a little weird. So, but everything is good. Everything is good. Somebody said, you thought LA was all night? Man, please. In Hollywood, man, even in Hollywood, most things shut down after 2 o'clock. There's only 3 or 4 places you can go get food in Hollywood. And that's the popping part of LA. You dig? But anyway, but I'm all right, guys. I'm all right. And I just got to really pace myself. That's all. I got to pace myself. But I'm still getting these projects out. That's happening. And I'm so driven and I'm so excited about them. Because I know this is information that we need. And this is information that's going to change the world. You dig? And shout out to our brother Nipsey again. You know, Laura Ingraham from Fox News, you know, she did a segment on her show where they were mocking our brother Nipsey dying. They were on there really, they were laughing about it. They were laughing about him and the F. Donald Trump song. So they, you know, they were just really cock-eyeing and kiki-ing over Nipsey getting murdered the way he was. And, you know, they were being very antagonistic with it. And, you know, they do stuff like that to get a rise out of black people. Yeah. Yeah, Laura Ingraham. Y'all know I've been on her show, and I shut her down and embarrassed the hell out of her on her own show, and they cut my mic off, if you guys remember. But, you know, she stays on that white supremacist garbage. And, again, that's what they do. They mock and ridicule black people. You know, that's funny to them to try to get a rise out of us. Now, some of y'all don't know. Do you know that Laura Ingraham, she's a convicted thief? I pulled up some paperwork the other day. And Laura did a little shoplifting when she was in college back in 1983. I pulled up some paperwork. Yeah, she did a little shoplifting. Little larceny Laura, if you guys saw the paperwork. Now, there's an interview she did where she tried to do some splaining. She tried to laugh off her thievery. Let me play y'all what she said. And that's what they love doing. They love doing stuff and then trying to minimize it. They love trying to minimize all the slick little stuff they do. But this is an interview with her.
There was some store, I don't even know which one it was, but some store in near Dartmouth, okay? And some friends and I were together, and there's this type of coffee. I can't remember the name of it, but it was flavored coffee. It was before Starbucks. It was powder. It's like International Foods.
International Delight?
Yes.
Yep.
Exactly what it was.
Oh, Lord. You see how extra they're trying to be to minimize it? Focusing on the brand of the coffee. This is a con game that the white supremacists do, by the way.
National Delight. And there was a kind called, it was like they had mint, chocolate mint, and they had like Verona or Vienna or something like that.
French vanilla or
yeah,
something
like that. Yeah, and so it was like $2.99 a can. And we didn't have any money with us. But it's like the kind of thing where you go in there all the time. You just, they're like, oh, we'll pay him another time.
Oh, okay. Listen to the mayonnaise explaining. Listen to this thief. Listen to larceny Laura. We're just going to take it and pay him another time. Listen to that, I'm white and I say so. That's what they call stealing. We just took it and we're just going to pay him some other time. Boy, that's that mayonnaise logic if I ever heard it. We're going to take it and we'll just pay him later. It ain't really stealing. We're going to take it and then pay him later. Okay.
Swipe the coffee can. $2.99. Swipe it on a dare. We walk out. The guy comes out. It's like, oh, did you just swipe the coffee? Like, no, because we were going to give the money back for it. No, I didn't swipe the coffee. But then he looks us up in the freshman book at Dartmouth. Freaking get nabbed for shoplifting. Okay, it was basically expunged. Yeah. Oh, it's so stupid.
Oh, God, it was so stupid. Stop it, you thief. That's thief logic right there. Black folks can't laugh off something like that. We steal something, all of us. It's black culture. We got to do probation. Oh, we don't get to say, oh, we were going to bring it back. We just took it and we were going to pay you later. Oh, we just did it on a dare. Well, we're daring your ass to go to jail, Negro. Oh, it's that mayonnaise, I'm white and I say so logic. Oh, we did it on a dare. Oh, it was just fun and games. We were just playing little klepto.
It was basic. It was expunged and everything. But it's just so dumb. Here's my advice. Don't do things on dares in college.
Oh, please.
Couldn't I have done something like steal hubcaps? I mean, like hotwire a car. Wouldn't that have been more interesting? If you're going to get in trouble, like hotwire something.
What is this, Gone in 60 Seconds?
Yeah, this is stupid. I mean,
what is this, Jonah? 60 seconds? Just stop it. Okay, just the mayonnaise splaining. Thief. You know, when they do something, it's always they minimize the hell out of it. They get these little slaps on the wrist, and she probably did get it expunged. They tried to hide this record for a long time. There was some kind of slip up at the court. Oh, and I got that. Oh, I got the paperwork. So that's what they do. She's trying her best to speak nonchalantly of her crime. See, when black folks do it, well, that's because of a pathology that we have as a black community. That's in our DNA. There's a thief gene. There's a thief DNA gene in black folks. But if they do it, well, it was just a dare. Come on, I was going to give the money back. I was in college. I was young. Whereas 14, 15-year-old kids, if they steal something, they're supposed to get shot and their brains blown out. You dig? So there is no logic with them. White supremacy is one of the most illogical phenomenons in the history of mankind. You can't logic or reason with them. Everything is all about, I'm white and I say so. But I digress. What else is going on in the news out here, family? Corey Buttcheeks, he's out here again trying to push that whole Rosario is my girlfriend story. And it's really getting sad at this point. Corey Buttcheeks should know that nobody's buying it, but he's trying to use the whole fake Rosario is my girlfriend narrative to tie into stories that he can flip into policies. It's so weak. It's just like that T-Bone narrative that he had about some thug that he knew named T-Bone, who was a drug dealer and all this old stuff. So now he's still pushing this. He's in a relationship with Rosario, and it's sad at this point. But listen to this. Listen to him. Listen to Corey Buttcheeks. Hold on.
I love this question, and you are not alone in asking me this question often. My mom asks me this question every single day. I live in Newark, New Jersey, in a two-family home where, for a while, my brother, his wife, and my niece, who I had dinner with a few nights ago, live. I'm a single guy, but I'm in a serious relationship with a woman I'm very much love.
Okay. I'm a single guy, but I'm in a relationship with a woman I love. Okay. That sounds okay. He don't know how to talk like a dude who's in a relationship with a woman. That's not, he don't even know how to say, God. He don't even know how to talk like a dude who's in a relationship with a woman, man. Come on, dude. He's just, I'm single, but I'm with a woman. What? He don't even know how to fake it. Come on, bruh.
Oh. Home where, for a while, my brother, his wife, and my niece, who I had dinner with a few nights ago, live. I'm a single guy, but I'm in a serious relationship with a woman I'm very much love, who the media seems to be a little concerned with because she's got a day job in acting. But she's somebody very special. And I'm.
Well, they're concerned with because y'all planted the damn story, Corey. Y'all planted the story. What you mean the media is concerned with it? Y'all go around promoting this damn story any chance you get. Y'all the ones promoting the damn story. Well, it's the media. They're all in our business. Coon laugh. They're all in our business. Just give me and my breezy some privacy. Stop it. Y'all been planting the damn story, Corey.
I'm a single guy, but I'm in a serious relationship with a woman I'm very much love, who the media seems to be a little concerned with because she's got a day job in acting. But she's somebody very special, and I'm excited about the relationship. I do think that our individual values mean a lot. And so if you want to know who I am, besides the family that is really important to me, and if you've heard me talk about my parents and my siblings and, God willing, somebody that hopefully will become more and more special in my life, the values at the core of who I am come from faith, come from family, and come from country.
This Corey singing to Rosario. This Corey. Sing it, Corey. Sing it, Corey. Let them know how you feel, Corey. Get it, Corey. God damn, man. Come on, bro. Dude, I wish he stopped. This is so embarrassing, bruh. Dude, come on with the Rosario stories, man. Oh, he's trying to tie it into stuff. Well, the other day I was with Rosario and I was hitting it from the back, and then I decided to go down on her and give her some cunnilingus. It was so delicious. And when I was looking at her vajayjay, it looked like a taco. And the taco, it reminded me of Mexico. And that's why we have to really support immigration reform for Mexican people to come and enjoy the benefits of DACA. Like, dude, come on. Damn. This dude. Boy, this is about the most unconvincing-ass dude ever. Corey, butt cheek, stop playing. Come on, bruh. This thing ain't believable at all. I don't know one person who believes this dude, man. But do you, Corey? Do you, bruh? So excuse me. My throat is a little scratchy still, guys. But the other day, I saw a clip, and I posted up a clip of Oprah. One of these old Oprah clips. She did, it was on her YouTube channel, this Where Are They Now thing. And this ties into the theme of today's broadcast. We're talking about romanticizing exploitation. And Oprah had something where she had a, quote, former racist. And y'all watch that. When they start talking about somebody's a damn former racist, the hell you mean a former racist? How do you know? So she had this former racist on her show who was mad because his daughter, his white daughter, got knocked up by a brother and they had a little black kid. So he had to come to terms with that. And they're trying to praise this guy for accepting his black grandson. I'm like, give me a damn break. But listen to this. This was Oprah promoting this garbage. And we got to watch stuff like this. You got to watch. Oprah is one of their minions who love promoting that whole, they try to romanticize different types of exploitations. But listen to this.
After 25 years of tackling race on The Oprah Show, here's an unexpected update from a former racist who appeared on our show in 1989.
You say here, how can anyone scorn a cute little four-year-old boy because of the color of his skin? But you did for a while?
When he was born, I started changing from that point on. He's part of me, and I'm ashamed of the way I felt before.
It was 1989 when Jim Rainey wrote how the love of his biracial grandson helped change his racist ways.
And no, they don't like calling them black, by the way. They won't call them black now. When it's their children, it was the biracial, he's a black kid. All right, let's be clear. That shows you right there that white supremacist mindset. They never refer to him as black, though. My biracial son, he's biracial. He ain't black, he's biracial. He's right there in between.
But even today, he feels ashamed of his dark past.
I felt I was superior, that white people were superior to blacks. I felt blacks were okay as long as they stayed in their own place.
And he still believes that.
And that place was where I wanted them to be.
And that he still believes that.
There were instances where myself and friends tuned a black person up. Maybe a threat or a slap or something like that.
So this dude is admitting to beating up black people, okay? This dude is admitting to beating up black people, so he probably done worse than that, by the way. All right, this dude is already admitting to beating up black people and harming black people.
It's not something I'm proud of talking about, you know?
Well, you ain't proud of talking about it, but you were damn sure proud of doing it.
I guess you could say I had a bully mentality.
Jim was furious when he learned his daughter was pregnant with a biracial child.
You mean by a black man? Notice they didn't say that. Look at how the wording is and how Oprah is helping their ass. His daughter was pregnant by a black man. But instead of saying by a black man, no, she was pregnant with a biracial child. Boy, they can't get the word black out, can they?
I was mad, violently mad.
Uh-oh.
Gosh, I wanted to do a lot of things, and they were all against the law.
Oh, so white daddy wanted to do some things that was all against the law.
And I wouldn't lie to you and say I didn't think about getting a gun and shooting a few people.
So this dude was talking about going out just killing folks. He's not saying that just to be saying that. This dude is dead serious.
Initially, Jim wanted nothing to do with his grandson, Seth, but something changed.
He didn't know I was a racist. He didn't know how evil my mind was. He just knew I was smoking. I was his granddaddy, and he loved me. I had to think about what I was doing, and next thing you know,
listen to the music in the back. it went from I'm an evil racist. Now I love the little baby negress. Listen to the music in the back. Got all happy. Full of shit.
This is granddaddy, and he loved me. I had to think about what I was doing. The next thing you know, I loved him.
The four-year-old boy we first met on the show is now 26 and married with three children of his own.
I've always looked at my granddad as just a role model in my life. And, you know, I love him very much and proud to have him as a granddad.
Okay, now the grandson, he's grown now. He's a damn cop, and he's married to a white woman. This dude looks like every bit of the coon that we see out here running the streets now. Can you imagine how this grandson interacts with black folks? Could you imagine? Because he's married to a lily white woman. He's a cop now. So could you imagine interacting with this dude? Oh, my God. The grandson. That's what I'm talking about. The grandson who was partially raised by racist daddy. Racist grandpa. This dude, yeah, Sheriff Clark Jr. Oh, my God. Can you imagine his hatred for black society? Can you imagine? My God.
3 years ago, Jim's transformation came full circle when he and his wife adopted two black children into their family.
Oh,
these are my boys.
Lord. So they didn't let this fool adopt some black kids. Oprah, you need to be ashamed of your damn self for promoting this filth. They got two black boys up here that this alt-lice dude done adopted. Like, oh, hell.
My sons, it's amazing that you can get this old and just now realize what your calling in life is. That's being a parent and a father to Robert and Walter.
I hope that Brent and I both can last long.
Okay. All right. Let me unpack this. So they didn't let him adopt. So they didn't let him adopt some black kids. And they look like they might be 10, 11, or 12 or something like that. So they let him adopt some black kids. Now this dude is on TV talking about killing folks. He done beat up black folks. He done slap black folks around, and the adoption agency say, yeah, he seems fit. Yeah, let's give those black kids to him. Yeah, let's give those kids to him. Oh, he said he ain't racist no more. Okay, we'll give the kids to him. And those black kids' parents, their biological parents, they probably got swiped from their parents for something minimal. Black parents, biological parents, your kids would get taken away from you at the drop of a hat for anything minor. Hell, out here in California, Kamala Harris, she's up here locking up black parents for the kids not showing up to school on a couple of days. And Kamala Harris, she just apologized, talking about she regret her truancy laws. No, you don't regret them. You just regret that black people ain't messing with you. You just regret that black people see you for what you are and black folks aren't messing with you. But Kamala Harris's laws that were white back, they were locking up black parents left and right for their kids missing school. Black folks get punished and locked up for all types of minimal things, where white daddy gets out here and talks all types of crazy about harming black folks and they give him some kids. And can you imagine, my God, what's being done to those children? Can you imagine what's being done to those children, guys? I can only imagine. Those kids are being buck broken as we speak. They love doing that, giving black kids away to these suspected white supremacists, knowing how racist they are. No telling what they do to those kids. And when y'all see a lot of these Sambos and coons out here, understand that many of them were adopted by white people. A lot of these Sambos that you see out here on that What About Black on Black Crime talk, a lot of these Negroes were adopted by white people. I know this for a fact. Notice you never see a lot of these coons out here, especially hanging out with the alt-right and hanging around with those racist circles. You never see these Sambo's parents. They never tell you too much about their family life. And I'm talking about coons on the right and the left. Notice that. Notice when you see a lot of these Sambos out here buck dancing for white mommy, white daddy, you don't know nothing about their parents. You never see who raises these people. Look at some of those folks over at The Root. Notice you never see their parents. And a lot of them are immigrants too, so they come over here on some foreign exchange student type of thing, living with white people. You don't ever see these Negroes' parents. Even one of the senior editors over there at The Root, that Jason Johnson dude, you'll never see that dude's parents. I think that dude might be adopted. Yeah, R.C. Maxwell, that dude, I think he was adopted by some white folks. And he's a major Sambo. So they're trying to flip the story and romanticize it like a racist. He got over his racist evil ways because of black love, the loving black child, and the desire for a white daddy savior that helped him. Love conquered hate. It's that narrative that Oprah's trying to help push. They love that. When you have an evil, disgusting, violent white supremacist, just love him. All he needs is some love. You got to fight hate with love. Just hug him. Give him a nice little Negro smile and help him get over his racist ways against you. Get the hell out of here. That's not how you deal with him. You don't deal with violence with love. You protect yourself at all costs. It is an eye for an eye. You treat people the exact same way they treat you. You have every man-made and God-given law and right to protect yourself from evil. Don't let nobody run that game on you. But this is why it's important that we create and control the narrative. We have to control our narratives, because the thing is, they're trying to normalize this buck-breaking mentality. And the buck-breaking and bedwinch-breaking, that's for black men and women. They do that with both of us. They do that with both of us, black men and black women. They've always historically done that. So we have to be able to create media and propaganda mechanisms to counter that. Again, they're using Oprah. They love using Oprah to push a certain narrative, because up until now, Oprah had a certain level of respect within black society. Black society has now turned on Oprah. Black society has officially turned on Oprah because they saw her get down with this Michael Jackson thing. They saw Oprah for what she was with this Michael Jackson thing. People have turned on Oprah. We see her for what she is. She's a billion-dollar minion for white supremacy. You dig? So they're still going to try to use her. But this generation now, we ain't going for the okey-doke. This is why we have to keep our narratives going. This is why the films like Buck Breaking, it's so important. We got to stay ahead of the game. We got to stay ahead of the curve. This is why I tell people stuff years in advance before it happened. Just like years ago, I told people they're going to start using some of these hate crime laws and civil rights laws. They're going to start using that to protect other groups and to use against black society. Down there in Texas, there was a car accident with a black transsexual. He got into a car accident and I think he tried to run or something, but he got out the car and started arguing with folks and started instigating stuff with a crowd of folks, and then he got jumped. And now the police down there, I think it's in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, they're trying to charge some of the black people there with hate crime violations for beating up this dude who just happened to be a transsexual. But he was out there instigating fights with people, and he got washed. So now the law enforcement there, they're throwing all this hate crime stuff out there. But notice, they don't do all that hate crime stuff when white supremacists are beating up sisters down there. They don't talk hate crime when a white neighbor shoots the black neighbor and the white neighbor is known to spew racial epithets. They don't even arrest them, let alone charge them. So they're using these laws that were supposed to be for us against us. And the reason why they're using them against us is because we were on that let's fight hate with love that fight hate with love thing works against us black folks. We have to stop that kumbaya, love our enemy garbage. That's why they love running around talking about we gotta forgive, forgive, forgive. They do that so they can justify harming us even more. Which one of those evangelical Christian guys? I tweeted this the other day. I forgot which. Is it Billy Graham's son? One of those guys. I think it was Billy Graham's son who was talking about how we need to forgive that white supremacist who was burning down those churches down there in Louisiana. He's up here talking about we need to forgive him. Are you out of your damn mind? Dude out there burning up churches left and right out there, and he happened to be the son of a sheriff down there. Franklin Graham. Yeah, that's his name. Thank you, D. Thank you, D, in the chat room. Franklin Graham. That's the son of Billy Graham, talking about how we need to forgive him. You don't ever hear them talk about forgiving any Muslim or any other person who committed an act of terrorism. They never do that. It's always forgive the white guy. And again, Franklin Graham, he comes from Billy Graham, and Billy Graham was an old-time white supremacist. He tried to act like a friend of black society, and he was not. I did a whole Twitter post years ago breaking down Billy Graham's racism. Billy Graham had no problem with black people being on the bottom rungs of society during the civil rights movement. Don't ever let them run that game on you that Billy Graham was some type of friend to black society, because he chopped it up with Dr. King. See, a lot of these people in the dominant society, they think that anybody who knew or took a picture with or was around Dr. King, that somehow washes away their racism. And it doesn't. It does not. So don't let them run that game on you. But the thing is, what they like to do in the dominant society, they like to call out old racism so that they can ignore the new racism. They like to do stuff like, we're going to take down some old Confederate statues, or we're going to rename a national park that has a racist name. You notice they love doing that? That's kind of a trick bag too. That's them staying on code. It's like, we'll call out the old racism. They have no problem doing that, because what they're not going to do is do anything about the racism here. The racism going on right now. I don't care about no statues. I don't care about them going off on some old racist who died years ago. Down there in I think Savannah, Georgia, they just renamed a creek. There was a creek called Runaway Negro Creek. And they just renamed it down there in Savannah, Georgia, because as we know, Georgia was made a state because so many black people were running away from South Carolina going into Florida, where that was a free state. People keep making it seem like the Underground Railroad was north. The Underground Railroad was south. Black people were going down to Florida. The reason they don't like talking about black people going to Florida is because no white people can take credit for it. See, black people going to the north, there were some white abolitionists in the white church. Some of them were assisting black people going north. So they like to give themselves props on that. They like to give themselves props on that. But most black people were going down south to Florida, and they were doing it on their own, and they were doing it heroically, and they were slaughtering any white supremacists who got in their way. And there were so many of them going down there to Florida, they had to make Georgia a state in order to be a buffer to catch some of them, because Georgia was an Indian territory at the time. You dig? But they renamed, it was a creek called Runaway Negro Creek, and they had to rename it. They didn't have to, but they renamed it to show, hey, look, we're getting rid of racism. Nobody gives a damn about that. That's old school. What about all these white supremacists in Georgia now? There's a dude down there now who's been outed as a correctional officer. I think he's in Georgia. He's a correctional officer in Georgia. And he's an open white supremacist. And he's working at, I think, one of the jails down there. And this dude goes to Richard Spencer events. He posts all types of racist, neo-Nazi rhetoric online. And they said they're not going to fire the guy. The guy's still employed. The guy is still employed down there in Georgia. He's, let me give y'all his name, by the way. His name, what is his name? What the hell is this guy's name? Okay, they hold on. I'm looking at the article now. I forgot what his name was. What the hell is this guy's name? I can't even find his name in the article. This is how the media is protecting the guy. Okay, I'm trying to find the guy's name, and they really don't even have his name in the article. But if you look up Georgia Guardsman deputy outed for extremist post, and they're not, hold on, okay, they're not even showing the guy's name. Yeah, he has a whole bunch of white supremacist stuff on his Facebook page. I think his name is, hold on. Okay, it's, no, that's not it. It's something. They won't show the dude's name. This is how on cold they are. I'm looking at the article, and they don't even have his name in the article. They have his picture, but they don't have his name. So even the media, they're protecting the guy. I'm trying to go through it, and naturally, with an article like this, they'll have the person's name. They have his pictures, but they don't even have his name in the article. The names they have are his bosses, who's not going to fire him. But if you go to my Twitter, you can see the article and see what the guy looks like. But we got to keep our eyes and ears open. Again, you're not under any obligation to be harmed by white supremacists. We're not under any obligation to let that happen. We protect ourselves at all cost, and we understand and we look at any conspiracy that's happening out here. And speaking of conspiracies, you notice there's a lot of fake stories going around about Nipsey Hussle and the suspect. I've seen several articles talking about the getaway driver was killed. Eric Holder's brother committed suicide. There's articles saying that Eric Holder admitted that he got $75,000 from the police. All of these are fake articles. Do not share these fake articles with me. These are fake articles. Do not share these fake articles with me. And what's interesting is the police officer's name, Trent East. That's his name? Okay. What's interesting about all these fake articles about the Nipsey Hussle murder suspect, I don't see none of these people running around talking about how fake these stories are, which when they're obviously fake. These are obviously fake stories. All those people who are hopping in my comment sections and everybody else's comment sections trying to discredit us when we were pointing out that there were other larger conspiracies at play, all of these people are silent now, which proves my point that a lot of these people were agents. They were misinformation agents, because none of these people are around to call out these obviously fake stories. But I just wanted to remind people of that. I digress. Anyway, so in further talking about romanticizing exploitation, Ancestry.com put out this commercial. And I'm going to play the audio from this commercial, but Ancestry.com put out this commercial. And this commercial, there was so much to unpack with this thing. There's so many things to unpack with it, but this Ancestry.com commercial, it talks about, it shows a black slave woman. It takes place in slave times. It shows a black woman who's a slave, clearly, and a white man. And the white man is saying, we need to escape to the north. We need to go to the north. And let me just let you guys hear the audio of this. I'm just giving you the visuals, but this is it. Hold on.
Abigail, we can escape to the north.
I don't...
There's a place we can be together across the border. Will you leave with me?
Uncover the lost chapters of your family history with Ancestry. Get started for free at Ancestry.ca.
Okay. Oh, my God. There's so much to unpack with this family. Oh, man. It's just so much to damn unpack with this. It's so much to get into with this thing. So, hold on. It's so much to get into here. Oh, my goodness. This dude... Oh, I almost don't know where to begin with this thing. It's so much to get into. Oh, man. Okay. So, this white man looking all concerned for this woman. Oh, we got to sneak. One thing they want to do with this is make it seem like slavery ain't so bad. This goes into the whole slavery ain't so bad narrative, which is what they always like to promote. They love promoting that slavery wasn't as bad as folks make it out to be. They love promoting that. That's one thing. They like to pander and cater to some of those bedwinch fantasies that some people have. They know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing, and they're being real slick about it. They're being extremely slick about this. Excuse me. This whole thing where a white man had to sneak around with a sister, they didn't have to do all that. A white man didn't really have to sneak around, especially on a plantation. You were property, so they didn't have to sneak around with you. They could do whatever they wanted to do with you. They didn't have to run around in the shadows and look over their shoulder. They can do whatever the hell they wanted to with you. Also, what this does, this is a way for them to try to create a divide and conquer thing with black men and black women. They're trying to give black women the impression that white men have been secretly on your side, but because of slavery and society, your love was forbidden. So instead of this being a slave, master, slave, owner, slave, victim relationship, it's really a forbidden love. And they've been trying to push that slavery was really a forbidden love narrative. They've been trying to push that for a minute with the Scandal television show. You know, we've been calling that out for years. That whole thing of we're meant to be together, but society, it's society that's stopping us. It's all the rules and the hatred of society that's stopping our love. You can be right here by my side sharing in some of this power, but society, that's the garbage narrative that they're trying to throw at sisters. See, that's the carrot of bedwinching that they dangle. That's the bedwinch carrot that they dangle. They tell you, potential bedwinches, well, you could be over here with me, white daddy. And you over there with the black guy, you ain't going to get nothing with him. But if you play your cards right and do what I want you to do, you can be over here sharing power with me. You could be sharing power with me, but society, you know how they are. Society is so against our type of love. And white daddy is the main one pushing that societal racism. That's what makes you a bedwench. They tell you all that so that you can continue to be a good bedwench, so that you can continue to perform those tricks and all that magical Negro sex in bed. That's what they like. They don't want to share no power with you. See, they like to create sexual confusion. They like all your little Negro magic tricks. See, they're the ones who push the black girl magic. That's what black girl magic is to them. Black vajayjay, that's the black girl magic to them. So they want you around to keep doing those sexual tricks that they love so much. And they'll tell you what you need to hear. And also they want to have you as a useful tool to undermine black society for them, because they know that bedwinches are very protective of Zaddy. They know these bedwinches are extremely protective of Zaddy. You say something about white Zaddy, these bedwinches come out the woodworks on your ass. So understand the propaganda they're trying to use with them. Showing this dude who's really pretending to be in love with this sister, that he wants to help her get out of slavery to get her freedom. Slavery wasn't so bad. All of us weren't so bad. All of us weren't racist. Some of us were trying to do the right thing. But it's society that's stopping us. They did not have to sneak around with sisters whatsoever. That's a major lie. And like I said earlier, they didn't have to go to the North. Notice how he said the North. We can run away with me to the North. Run away with, they playing romantic music in the back. Run away with me to the North so that we can enjoy our love, so we can be together and get away from the racism, because ain't no racism in Canada, please. Like there ain't no damn racism in Canada, the North. Or I don't even think he's talking about, was he talking about Canada or just the northern states? In the commercial, he said the border. Let me play it again. Let me play it again, because he said the North and then he said something about a border. Let me play it one more time. Hold on. To catch everything that he said.
Abigail, we can escape to the North. There's a place we can be together across the border. Will you leave with me?
Okay, across the border. Okay, it was across the border. Okay, got it. Okay, it was a place in the North across the border. Okay. Give me a damn break. And this is another thing that they're doing too. This is another thing that they're doing with this. See, Ancestry, they're using this ad so that people can trace back the DNA of a white man who saved a black woman. So now people watching this are people tracing their DNA, because right now reparations is a very hot topic. Right now, black people are really stumping for reparations real hard right now. So they've been trying to do things to undermine us. So now what a person in the dominant white society can say, they can say, well, I'm white, but, you know, I traced my DNA back and I'm a descendant of slaves too. My granddad, my great-great-granddad ran away with his slave mistress. Because, see, all of us weren't racist. All of us some of us tried to do the right thing. And my great-great-granddad ran away with my great-great-great-grandma, Abigail. And that means I'm a descendant of slaves too. So I'm supposed to get some of those reparations too, right? Because look, I know racism and slavery was bad, but all of us weren't racist. And hey, we're family now, right? So I told y'all this was going to happen back in Hidden Colors 4. If you go back and watch Hidden Colors 4, I said, if we start talking about reparations and some money is about to be allocated, you're going to see a bunch of white people claiming black ancestry. You're going to see Rachel Dolezal all over the place. You're going to see Rachel Dolezals all over. You're going to see white people with kente cloths and the whole nine. I knew that was coming. So they can be like, well, all of us aren't racist. Some of us help you escape. We all weren't bad. You got to include some of us got to be included too. So that trick bag is coming. I knew that was coming. But we got to stop falling for this. And sisters, don't you go for it. Because, again, they see that black men and black women are on code right now as far as reparations talk and us talking about getting tangibles. They see that we're all on code right now. They see that we're on code heavy. They see that we're on code heavy about this. And the thing is, what they want to do, because the Democrats particularly, they're about to cave in right now. They're about to implode on themselves. They are about to implode because they need us as a base. They need us as a base, and they see what they're doing ain't working. They see what they're doing ain't working, and they're trying to shamelessly stump for immigrant groups to be their base now. As you see, they're shamelessly pandering to immigrant groups. They're trying to get immigrant groups to be their base right now. They're just shamelessly going for them. Because they see that we're not moving. All of this kumbaya talk, we want tangibles, and we're not moving without tangibles. You're going to have to come up off the bag now. Black folks, the young black people, we're not listening to these old civil rights Boule fossils. We're not listening to them. The young people are getting the brunt of the violence of white supremacy. So a lot of young black people are on code right now. We have to have tangibles. We got to get reparations specifically for us. And the message, we're still on code, and we're on code heavy. And they're trying desperately to get these immigrant groups. And the problem is, these immigrant groups, for the most part, and I'm talking about the Asians, Hispanics, Middle Eastern, and truth be told, many of these African and Caribbean ones too, let's keep it 100, many of them identify too much with the oppressor class, meaning the Donald Trumps and the MAGA crowd. Many of them, they're trying to get close to that MAGA crowd. Do you understand? So they like for us to do the dirty work of getting out here in the streets, fighting for immigration. They like black Americans getting all the knots and the bruises and the ass whoopings from being in the streets fighting to get the immigrants over. And when all these immigrants come over here, they put on these red Make America Great Again hats. See, that's why don't let none of these immigrant groups shame you talking about, hey, man, y'all sound like y'all some Trump supporters. Y'all the main ones who come over here with the MAGA hats on. These are the main ones coming over here siding with some of these alt-life Trump supporters. These are the main ones. So they see that we're not going for that. We're not going for that okey-doke no more. So they don't know what to do. And that's good, because you have no choice but to come up off them tangibles. If you don't want to come up off them tangibles, that's you're going to fall off. So now what they're going to try to do, they're going to try to divide black men and black women now, because they see black men and black women are on code. So what they're going to try to do, they're going to try to say, okay, look, I know y'all want reparations, but remember back in slavery when some of us were trying to run away with you black women? We didn't really look at you as a slave. You know, not like those Negroes. Those Negroes, no, they're different. And, you know, those Negroes are real violent and they're real misogynistic. But no, I loved you in slavery. I wanted to be with you. But, you know, circumstances of society, Abigail, I love rubbing on your edges and your little nappy cooch. I loved it. We can have those days again if you just come over here with me. Just come on over here and let's rekindle those days. Don't you want to be my bed wench again? Let's trace our DNA back. I can almost guarantee that my great-great-granddaddy had your great-great-grandma. We can carry on the little bed wench tradition. Don't you want that? I can give you some tangibles over here in the big house. You don't need that black man. No. He's not going to get no tangibles. He can't do nothing for you. But Zaddy, I'm Zaddy. I can do everything for you. And see, we got to get off that thing. We got to get off that Zaddy garbage. And too many black men and black women get on that. I saw something. What's Sierra's dude's name? Sierra's husband. What's his name? What's Sierra's husband's name? Russell Wilson. I saw a post on Russell Wilson's Instagram, and this is another thing about that white daddy thing that, yeah, black women are on code, and shout out to my sisters. Sisters ain't falling for that. There's too many situations where Sandra Bland, we got too many sisters out here getting slaughtered, and the white supremacists ain't doing nothing about it. So sisters are definitely on code. But Russell Wilson put up a post on his Instagram, and his post read, he was sitting up here with his sports agent, I think. And this is on his gram. Russell said, 10 years of you being a father figure in my life and being an inspiration to me, always encouraging me. Thank you for not only being the best football and baseball agent in the world, but more importantly, the person you are. You came into my life right when my dad passed away. And I know my dad sent you in my life for a reason. Thank you, Mark. Love you. Russell, go get Russell and tell him to listen to me. All my brothers who are athletes, and I like Russell. Russell seems like a good guy. Russell seems like a good dude. Russell, he doesn't seem like a bad guy at all. But I see a lot of black athletes running around talking that my sports agent or my coach is like my daddy. Y'all got to get off that, fam. Y'all got to get off that. That the coach was my zaddy. Black folks, that's a big trick bag that y'all keep falling for. Understand this. These people in the dominant white society, they are around you because of the money you generate. Y'all stop thinking that there's some kind of family thing. They run that game on you because they know Negroes are so desperate for white approval and Negroes are so desperate to be a part of the white family. Y'all get off that. That's why when y'all Negroes retire, notice y'all go broke after 5 years. White daddy, he's out here providing for his real family, and y'all ass out here doing refrigerator commercials for $800 after you retire. Y'all money gets ate all up, and then white daddy, who was your daddy figure, he done dipped, and he's taking care of his real family. Y'all get off that. Black people got, that's a very, very bad habit that black people fall into. And the people in the dominant society, they know that's a weakness for black folks. It's that Jerry Heller thing. See, they always pull that. Jerry Heller did the same thing with Easy and NWA and all those guys. That's why they trusted him with the contracts. They were on that. He was like a dad figure. They were on that back in the day. Then somebody pulled those contracts up and said, hey, man, these contracts are real janky. And then they realized they got screwed. The only person who had sense was Ice Cube, because Ice Cube had a real dad. Ice Cube's dad was in the house. Ice Cube was like, I don't need no damn dad. I need that money from them songs I wrote. You see? That's why dads are important. Ice Cube was like, I got a damn dad. My dad is at home, and my daddy told me to ask you where the money is for the Straight Outta Compton album that I wrote. Where's that money? What, is this money part of the money you owe me? Because they tried to give them all $75,000, and Ice Cube was like, nah. I'm going to need the rest of the money that I wrote all those songs for that and went platinum. Where's the rest of the money? You dig? Y'all black folks, please stop with that. These white folks are my family. They my daddy. He's a daddy figure. No. That's a game they run on you. They run that game on you all the time. It's all about money with them. They're around you because of the money you can help generate. Y'all better get off that. And speaking of athletes, I saw D. Wade. Is he leaving Miami? What's going on with him in Miami? I don't really follow these guys like that, but I saw a post of D. Wade. And y'all know his son. I was talking about his son, the little 11-year-old boy. He was on the runway just sashaying and tossing his ass all over the place. It was very disturbing for an 11-year-old child to be walking around like that. And they took the child to the gay pride parade. I mean, they're really doing a lot for an 11-year-old child. So he's retired. Okay, he's retiring. Okay. I saw a picture of D. Wade after he retired or whatever. He went and got a tattoo on his thigh. This dude went and got a tattoo on his thigh. And the chick, I think one of the chicks who was on Black Ink, the tattoo baby chick down there in Florida, I think she did the tattoo. But that's, I don't know too much about D. Wade. I don't know too much about this dude's lifestyle. But damn, that tattoo on the thigh, that looked real weird, man. This dude getting a tattoo on his thigh looked hella damn weird. Let me put the picture up. Hold on. I'm going to put the picture up here. Some of y'all can look at the playback and catch it. Hold on one second. Let me see if I can put it up here so folks can see it. Y'all bear with me one second. Let me put this thing up. Hold on one second. For those watching live, I'm going to put it up and you guys can see it in the thing. Y'all bear with me one second. Okay. So this is D. Wade. He got a tattoo on his thigh. Family. I'm not saying nothing. I'm not making any kind of accusations, but when do dudes get tattoos on their thighs, man? And then throw their leg up the, when do dudes get tattoos on their thighs, bruh? And I'm not insinuating anything. I'm just asking a question. It's just rare for a dude to get a tattoo on their thigh. And, I just thought that was kind of weird. I just thought that was kind of weird, family. So I don't know, you know, what's going on with D. Wade. I don't know my man's, what his get down is. He might be a good dude, but I just thought that dudes getting tattoos on their thighs. I don't know. I know people have talked about some of the outfits and his choice of clothing. I don't know, man. But again, this all ties into the buck-breaking thing. This is why, family, support the film Buck Breaking. It's real out here, family. It's real out here. Buck breaking is real. We got to discuss it. We got to talk about it. We got to break it down. We got to get information out here so we can share as a community to save folks, to save children, so that adults won't fall into traps, so that people won't fall into buck breaking and bed winching traps. It's real, and the propaganda against us is real. Family, if you have not gone to the Buck Breaking documentary film website, go to buckbreakingmovie.com, or if you're here right now, click the link in the comment, not the comment section, in the profile for Kickstarter and contribute to the Buck Breaking documentary right now. We have 8 days left to reach our goal. I think we can do it. We're at the halfway mark. We got 8 days left. Family, we can do it. Let's keep this thing popping, because when Hidden Colors 5 come out, I want to go right into production with this film so that we don't have to wait and there's no lag. We need to keep this thing going. All right, family, I'm up out of here. I will holler at you guys Sunday. You guys be good.